or maybe a combination of both? Shaking my head at all the questions that had popped into my mind, I realized that I wasn't going to find a logical solution to my problem, to somehow discover what the game was purposefully hiding from me. The trait was designed to be a leap of faith, to give me an option to explore the strange circumstances that had given me my mana-draining ability and see what lay beyond it. The question simply was, did I want to? Fuck it, I whispered to myself as I made a snap decision and quickly assigned the skill point, going as far to confirm the choice before I spent any more time endlessly overanalyzing it. Hmm? Halcyon asked, turning his head to look at me. Did you say something, Lear? Only to my... I started to say before I felt something stir inside of me, causing my stomach to twist with nausea as a powerful, all-consuming wave of hunger came over me. Gasping from the sudden sensation, I stopped walking and gripped my stomach, unable to help but feel a sense of panic shoot straight through me. But before I could do or say anything else, a spike of pain shot through my head, forcing me down onto my knees in agony, feeling as if razor-sharp claws were dragging themselves along the insides of my skull. This almost feels like what happened after I respawned from the fight with Carver, just worse, I thought, the painful memory flashing through my mind. So complete and consuming was the pain that I barely felt Halcyon grab me by the shoulders, only vaguely recalling it after the fact. As the seconds passed, the pain began to mercifully fade, leaving only the faint sensation of hunger behind, as if I'd recently missed a meal. Lear, are you okay? I heard Halcyon shout as a cool flowing sensation came over me. What's going- Hey, what are you doing? Hold up, stop! I felt a sharp tug pull me forward, causing me to lose my balance and catch myself with one hand against the ground, the other holding onto something that continued to try and yank itself backward. Not understanding what was happening, I looked up and saw that my hand had wrapped itself around Halcyon's forearm and was squeezing tightly, an expression of pain written across my friend's face. Shit! I cursed in surprise as I saw what was happening and forced my hand to let go, the cool flowing sensation that had been coursing through my body vanishing the moment I broke contact, leaving me feeling satiated and no longer hungry. What's going on? I think that's supposed to be my question, Halcyon replied, stumbling backwards half a step from my sudden release before he managed to recover. What the hell was that about? You don't just go start stealing mana without at least a courtesy warning. I didn't even realize I was doing it, I replied, holding up a hand for the mage to wait as I sorted out what I was feeling and waited for my heart rate to return to normal. I spent my skill point on a new trait just now, and then everything went a bit off. I'll say, Halcyon grunted as he rubbed his forearm in pain. For a second there, I thought you were going to break my arm. What trait did you take? It was the one I mentioned before, the one I wasn't sure about, I told the mage, taking deep breaths as I slowly regained control and tried to make sense of what I was feeling, eventually pushing myself back up onto my feet and noticing a flashing notification in my vision that was demanding my attention. Hang on a second, I said as I mentally called up the prompt and saw my vision fill with text. An alert just popped up. You have experienced the full depths of your body's demand for arcane energy, going as far as to have it consume your very life, which has now awoken a primal hunger from within that now permanently lurks at the edges of your mind. As a result of this development, your potency of your abilities have intensified, as well as their drawbacks. The trait, Mana Void, has been upgraded to Mana Devourer. Mana Devourer. For as long as you have mana, you do not require to eat or drink. However, as your mana reserves diminish, your hunger will increase correspondingly, until it becomes impossible to ignore. Should you completely deplete your mana reserves, your body will immediately enter a feral state as it begins to consume itself at a rate of 5 hit points for each second in a mana deprivation state, the rate increasing by another 5 hit points every second afterward, until at least 50% of your total mana is restored or you are consumed. All mana regeneration is permanently reduced by 100%. The ability, Mana Leech, has been augmented. Mana Leech. Its power enhanced by the effects of the Mana Devourer trait, you are now able to momentarily enhance your Mana Leech ability by expending your life force, allowing it to disrupt a single nearby spell. At the cost of 8% of your total health, you are now able to disrupt the formation of any spell within 30 feet, absorbing 50% of mana used to cast it, and prevent your target from casting spells for the next 2 seconds. Due to its strain on your body, this ability can only be used once every 5 minutes. You have learned the new ability, Mana Torrent, Monitorant. By fueling the ever-present hunger that now lurks within your body with your life force, you are able to momentarily draw in all nearby sources of mana directly towards you and absorb it. At the cost of 20% of your total health, this ability will instantly drain all mana sources within a 15-foot radius of you for 200% of your mana leech rate and temporarily disrupt the formation of any spells for the next 3 seconds. Due to the strain on your body, this ability can only be used once an hour. Huh, I grunted as I finished reading the update and dismissed it from my vision. Good news? Halcyon asked, his voice sounding a mix between curious and concerned. It's not bad, actually, I replied with a note of surprise as I gave the mage an outline of everything that I just read. The only downside I can see is that I actually feel hungry again, but for mana instead of food. It feels similar to what I felt when I'd lost control during the first battle with Carver, but nowhere as intense. And you think that'll change depending on how much mana you have left? Halcyon asked, homing in on one of the things that I'd mentioned in my explanation. That's what it sounds like, I said with a nod, unsure of how I felt about that particular development. At the moment, the newly awakened hunger was barely noticeable in the back of my mind, yet I couldn't help but wonder how that would change as I used up my mana pool. Though we'll have to see how that works in practice. Well, we have a few seconds right now, Halcyon said, waving at the still assembling raid in the distance. Cast a spell now and see what it's like so it doesn't surprise you later. I can top you up afterward. Good idea, I replied, pausing for a moment as I considered what spell to use, eventually settling on lesser shielding due to its larger mana cost. Casting the spell, I felt the protective shield fall over me, followed a heartbeat behind by the hunger intensifying as I went from being satiated to feeling like I should find something to eat soon. It's noticeable, I told Halcyon, who offered me an arm to replenish my mana. But it's not too bad at the start. It'll likely get more and more intense the less mana that I have. That makes sense, he agreed, wincing slightly as I briefly absorbed enough mana from him to replace what I'd used to cast the spell, the spike in hunger that I'd felt fading away. Though that torrent ability that you said you got should really help keep your mana levels up. Yeah, I said while nodding in thanks to the mage as I released his arm. It has a pretty steep cost in health, but I have a few ideas of how to put it to good use. I've seen similar abilities in other games before. I remember too, Halcyon commented. And with that in mind, I'm happy you're on our side. You're shaping up to be a regular mage slayer, Lear. I guess I am, aren't I? I replied, realizing that my friend's assessment was true. With my mobility and speed, combined with my mana draining and now spell interrupts, I was living a nightmare for a caster to face. I could get into melee range fast and then negate anything that they did long enough to inflict serious harm if they didn't have any support nearby. Though that's probably the role that spell swords would have normally fit into anyway. I just have a few extra tricks that make me stand out. Maybe. Halcyon agreed as he motioned for us to resume our journey back towards the raid. Though I think everyone's gonna start coming into their class roles in the next few levels. I remember overhearing people talking about their new class skills back at level 15, and a little bit more now with this point we just got. Options for spell interrupts, buffs, and crowd control abilities or spells are starting to become available. And that doesn't even include whatever we'll find at level 20, I said, nodding in sync with a man's train of thought. And then past that, it's only 9 levels away until we hit our advanced class. Definitely looking forward to that, Halcyon said excitedly. Though that is probably ages away. It took us 2 months to get this far, after all. That's true, I acknowledged. Though what I wouldn't give for 2 months of peace just to catch up. I hear you, Lear, Halcyon said. But something tells me that's just not in the cards for the next little while. Probably not, I agreed with a heavy sigh. Carver and his gang appearing at the forefront of my mind. Even if we managed to stop them here today, we'd have to start looking for their base again right away. They'd prove today that they were simply too dangerous to leave unattended. Walking the final distance back to the raid in silence, we eventually spotted Constantine, Lazarus, and Amaranth standing together in a half-circle, with a smattering of the other adventurers from the raid milling around. Everyone seemed to be interested in coming by to peek into the bag that the two were holding, before moving off to excitedly chat with their respective groups. Curious to what was going on, I motioned for Halcyon to follow me as we approached. "Want to see the loot, Lear?" Constantine asked as we approached. Sierra and the others are just consolidating the last few groups that are missing their leaders or have taken too many losses. We figured we could show everyone else what the beast dropped while we waited. It was a pretty good haul. Though before you get too excited, it's more crafting stuff, and its skull, plus something else that we're really not sure of. What exactly aren't you sure of? I queried, only to see both Lazarus and Constantine shrug in response. Take a look, Lazarus said to me, shaking the loot bag he was holding. You'll see. Okay, I replied, taking a step forward to peer inside the pack and seeing a list of items appear in my vision. Pristine Drake Scale, quantity 180, item class magical, item quality mythical plus 30%, weight 60 kilograms. Pristine Drake Fang, quantity 32, item class magical, item quality mythical plus 30%, weight 10 kilograms. Pristine Drake Talon, quantity 20, item class magical, item quality mythical plus 30%, weight 10 kilograms. Pristine Drake Bone, quantity 120, item class magical, item quality mythical plus 30%, weight 60 kilograms. The Beast Skull, item class trophy, weight 10 kilograms. Greater Essence of Ferocity, quantity 4, item class magical, item quality mythical plus 30%, weight not available. Essence of Ferocity? I asked, looking at the two who then shrugged back at me. That's similar to the essence that we found from the specters in the ruins. Seems like it, Lear, Constantine said. But what is it for? And why did the beast drop it? Wasn't that like an undead spirit thing? Guess not, if we're seeing it here, I replied, it being my turn to give the pair a shrug. I have no idea.
Best guess is that it has something to do with crafting that we haven't figured out yet, Halcyon suggested as he finished looking through the loot bag. Maybe for one of the advanced trade skills, like enchanting or runecrafting?
Huh, I forgot about those, Constantine said, glancing over to one side as he caught movement out of the corner of his eye. Well, at any rate, it looks like that's going to go on the back burner for now, because, unless I'm mistaken, we're ready to move.
Turning my head to follow his gaze, I saw that Sierra and the others had just emerged from the raid with a handful of the group leaders following closely behind them. Spotting the five of us right away, it didn't take long for all of them to make their way to us.
We've managed to get everyone who's still standing sorted out and are ready to go, Sierra said by way of greeting. You guys have everything you need from that runestone?
Yep, I replied without a moment's hesitation.
We're all set, Halcyon confirmed a moment afterward.
Great, she stated, giving the both of us a nod, then shifted her attention over towards Lazarus and Constantine.
All the loot is accounted for?
It is, Lazarus replied.
Perfect. Unless anyone else has something they need doing?
Sierra let the question hang as she looked around the group, giving time for anyone to speak up if they had any concerns. A few seconds of silence passed as everyone around us shook their heads and stayed silent.
All right, then,
the red-haired elf said, breaking the silence as she gave us all one last look.
Let's go find Carver.
Chapter 54.
It is as we thought,
Amaranth announced in my mind as I pushed my way through the thick foliage before me, the smell of burning vegetation growing stronger with each step I took.
Someone has been through here.
Good, I replied, feeling my heart begin to beat faster at the news, which in turn then prompted me to move faster through the thick brush. Hold on a moment, we're coming to you now. It had only been a handful of minutes since we'd left the beast's lair, minutes that had the jungle blurring past us as we recklessly blazed a path through it, sacrificing any pretense of stealth in favor of raw speed. The few spirits or creatures finding themselves unlucky enough to be in our path barely had time to process their mistake before a veritable avalanche of adventurers trampled them. Yet despite the progress that we were making, it was the most recent turn of events that had me holding my breath in anticipation of what I would find next. Up until just a few moments earlier, our sprint through the jungle had largely included us cutting our own trail through the heavy overgrowth as we headed in the direction of the ley line, at least until Amaranth had announced he'd caught the scent of several unfamiliar beings, mixed in along with the smell of smoke. With the entire raid following behind me and this being the deepest that any of us had ever ventured into the grove, that bit of news could have only meant one thing. we'd caught wind of Carver's trail. Shifting to follow the scent, I ordered for Amaranth to scout ahead and to report back on what he found as I followed with the rest of the raid. And here we are, I thought as I cautiously stepped out of the overgrowth, with Splinter held high and into a newly trampled clearing, my eyes scanning the area around me and seeing signs of recent battle. Almost all the vegetation nearby was either in tatters, trampled flat, or singed from a blast of magic. It looks like a portion of Carver's group was jumped by a bunch of the grove creatures, or spirits, and were forced to fight.
The battle here was brief, yet vicious,
Amaranth told me, trotting into view with his tail held low to the ground.
I smell the blood of several beings nearby, some belonging to the grove creatures, others not. Yet there is no doubt that the invaders persevered, for there is a path leading onwards.
It's only fair that Carver's group get a taste of what we had to face in here, I replied to the cat before glancing behind me as the rest of the raid began to arrive.
What's the news, Lear?
Drace asked, the first to appear from the jungle behind me, with Constantine and Sierra close behind. Looks like we found his trail, I replied, motioning that it was safe to come out as even more of the raid began to appear behind them. He and his group fought something here, then continued onwards. A lot of somethings from what I can tell, Sierra stated, as she stepped around the half-giant and glanced around the battle-torn area. But that's a big help for us. We'll be able to move faster if we're not blazing our own path through the jungle. True, I agreed as I gave the area another look, trying to picture just how many people had passed through the area. Seems like he has a pretty big group with him, likely much more than we saw him with at the tower.
We kinda expected that though, Lear,
Constantine said while indicating the jungle around us.
Besides, quantity didn't exactly work out in his favor the last time we fought him.
That it didn't, I acknowledged, trying to project a sense of confidence in my voice despite how I truly felt. I knew firsthand just how much could change over the course of a few weeks, especially when it came to training and practice. The only reason why we were able to beat out Carver and his group the last time was because we had all drilled together as a team, and had better gear in comparison. If he'd found a way to make up for that difference, with their larger numbers since we'd last fought them, there'd be little we could do to stand up against it. Focus on worrying about things you have control over, Mark, I thought, stopping that train of thought before my thoughts could begin to spiral. First things first, we need to find Carver, and that means keeping everyone moving. You can worry about how you're going to fight him once you know where he is. All right, I stated, taking my eyes off the jungle and turning my attention back towards the raid, which had just about finished arriving. Since Carver's been so nice as to give us a path we can follow, let's get everyone organized nice and close. That way we can all travel quickly together instead of being spread out and arriving piecemeal when we find him.
Works for me,
Trace grunted as both Constantine and Sierra nodded in agreement, the four of us then moving to pass on our updated plan to Freya and the others. Within a minute we were all moving again, this time following the trail that Carver and the rest of his group had left through the jungle. The simple difference of not needing to cut a path through the thick foliage allowing us to speed through the jungle at a near sprint. As we ran through the far reaches of the Twilight Grove, I gradually noticed a familiar feeling come over me, a sense of soothing warmth as the air somehow grew heavier. We must be getting close to the ley line, I thought as the sensation continued to increase, prompting me to temporarily pull my glove off to check the veins in my hand, seeing that they'd begun to glow with a soft azure energy. Very close.
We're almost there,
I announced, turning my head slightly towards Sierra, who had taken up position on my left.
How can you have... Oh, you're glowing again,
Sierra replied, her eyes widening in momentary surprise as they shot up to look at my face.
I forgot you double as a handy Geiger counter when it comes to ether.
That's one way of putting it, I guess,
I replied with a snort as I raised a hand upward to signal the raid to slow down. With us getting this close to the ley line and presumably Carver, the last thing I wanted to do was to have us all burst free of the jungle en masse and ruin any element of surprise we might have. Continuing forward at a more sedate pace down the trail, I was eventually able to make out a distant glow of emerald light ahead of us as the jungle came to an end.
There it is,
Sierra started to say as we approached the jungle's edge, when a discordant mental voice suddenly slammed into our minds, causing our hands to reflexively shoot up to cover our ears.
Invaders! Kill the invaders! They did this to us! Kill them! Kill them! Kill them!
The spirit's familiar chant tore through my head with an intensity that I'd never heard before, making me feel as if I'd been physically struck.
Ugh, that is loud!
Sierra gasped, her hands moving away from her ears to clutch at her head as she closed her eyes in pain.
Angrier, too,
I stated, gritting my teeth as I tried to push the mental noise out of my mind while forcing my feet to continue moving forward, the urgency of our situation refusing to let me stop, hearing a wave of groans echo out from behind me as the rest of the raid was affected by the mental assault.
Just a little bit farther.
Pushing through the psychic assault, we rapidly approached the jungle's edge and the glowing emerald light beyond it. With every step we took, I felt the mental pressure of the screaming voices in my head increase, until it was practically the only thing I could hear, drowning out the sounds of the raid behind me. Feeling a hand grip my arm, I turned to see that Sierra was trying to get my attention, her mouth saying something that was immediately lost amid the voices swirling through my mind.
"What did you say?"
I shouted, leaning in closer towards her in the hope of being able to understand what she was saying.
"Combat!"
she yelled back at me, almost directly into my ear.
"I hear combat ahead!"
Eyes widening in surprise, I looked back at my friend, then back towards the jungle's edge, a brief moment of clarity coming over me as I heard a thunderclap of magic echo in the distance, followed closely by shouting voices. Rushing forward without a second's hesitation, I charged towards the edge of the jungle, now just barely ahead of us, pushing the foliage out of my way as I moved. Squinting from the intense emerald light as I stepped out of the undergrowth, I forced myself to look through the brightness, feeling my heart skip a beat at the scene before me. Stretching as far as I could see was a massive canyon, almost completely filled with the emerald-colored ether, its sickly light drowning out the azure-hued cascade that fell from a large tear in the cavern wall above. Feeling my mouth drop open at the sight, my attention was drawn to the massive body of tainted ether, its surface roiling with countless ghostly shapes, some of which broke free and soared high up into the air. Shifting my eyes to follow one of the spirits as it left the body of ether behind and flew upwards, I saw it join a huge swarm of similar-looking shapes that were all swirling intently around the mouth of the ruptured ley line, and the ether pouring from it.
Lear!
Sierra's voice caused me to tear my eyes off of the torrent of spirits high above as her hand came into view, pointing at something much closer.
Look!
Following her outstretched finger, I dropped my gaze downwards and found myself staring at a large outcropping that stretched over the canyon, stopping just shy of the ether fall pouring from the ruptured ley line. Yet it wasn't the outcropping itself that had commanded Sierra's attention, but the fierce and vicious battle being waged on top of it. Blinking to make sure that I wasn't imagining the sight before me, I saw a large host of unfamiliar adventurers flanking either side of the outcropping as they clashed with a seemingly endless horde of Nefarian spirits that were climbing out of the ether-filled canyon and scaling the rock upward.
We found them,
I realized as I looked out towards the chaotic battle, seeing that the adventurers were just barely managing to keep the onrushing spirits at bay due to their superior positioning on either side of the outcropping. Glancing inward from the two forces, I saw a small reserve of adventurers standing by a large jagged rock, enjoying a pocket of relative safety as they tended to the wounded or moved to shore up flagging sections of the line. But I don't see Carver or his pet anywhere in that mess, unless he's on the other side of that stone.
Shit! That's the other runestone!
I practically shouted, the revelation interrupting my thoughts with the force of a sledgehammer.
Of course it'd be here!
Is it?
Constantine demanded from my other side, having appeared seemingly from nowhere while I'd been staring at the battle, along with several others, as everyone in the raid eagerly pushed their way forward out of the jungle.
Are you sure?
It looks the same as the others,
I replied, feeling my heart begin to thunder in my chest as a surge of adrenaline shot through me.
And where else would the game put it? Just like sticking it in the beast's lair, putting it here forces us to confront the spirits, to do exactly what Carver and his group are doing right now. Wait, what's that?
Sierra yelled as a bright flash of magic appeared at the edge of the outcropping in the distance, prompting all of our heads to snap in its direction, where we now saw a figure standing inside a bright orange aura.
It's Carver!
I snarled angrily, recognizing the one-antlered helmet that the figure in the distance wore, the magic flaring around him as he began to take shape.
And he's casting some sort of spell!
Then that means we're almost out of time!
Sierra exclaimed as she unslung her bow from her shoulder.
We need to get in there!
Here's our chance!
I shouted, making a snap decision as I took a step forward and looked back towards the raid, knowing that there wasn't enough time to lay out a battle plan or give a speech, not if we wanted to have any hope of stopping Carver in time. So instead, I kept my message as short and as simple as possible.
This is where we decide if Aldford lives or dies today. So hit them as hard as you can. Everyone, with me!
With my words still hanging in the air, I turned back towards the distant battle and launched myself into a sprint, hearing a loud, wordless roar split the air behind me as the raid rushed to follow, the thunder of their feet echoing briefly before it was lost amongst the spirit's endless wail. Running as fast as I could over the rough terrain, I saw both Constantine and Amaranth appear on either side of me, the three of us spearheading the raid's charge. As the distance between us and the rapidly approaching battle diminished, I felt a tingle of energy play across my skin, followed by an alert in my vision. You have entered an area permeated with ether. All mana regeneration rates are increased by 100 mana per second. All magical effects are increased by 25%. The ether is affecting this place just like it did at the hub, I exclaimed mentally as I scanned the notification, feeling my eyes widen at bonuses that this area provided. No wonder everyone is throwing magic around nonstop. It regenerates almost faster than you can spend it. My mind racing at the unexpected development, I dismissed the alert from my vision and focused my attention back towards Carver's forces, trying to decide where our arrival would do the most harm. The right side looks the weakest between the two, I noted as we approached, seeing that the majority of the adventurers clustered by the runestone had their attention focused in that direction, with several of their members moving to relieve overwhelmed sections of the line. If we can hit them hard enough, we can force them straight off the edge and into the ether, then continue rolling forward until we reach Carver. If the other half moves to attack us, then they'll end up sandwiched between us and the spirits.
They've seen us!
Constantine warned with a shout, prompting me to swing my attention back towards the center pocket where the reserve had been standing, seeing several of the adventurers pointing in our direction while trying to raise the alarm.
Far too late!
I shouted back, feeling a surge of vengeful glee shoot through me as I saw the wave of panic sweep through all of the adventurers ahead of us, their heads snapping towards us in disbelief. In their eyes, we'd already been a defeated force, fallen prey to Ignis's plan to have the beast kill us and put us out of the fight. Seeing us suddenly appear in near point-blank range, with the majority of our numbers intact, was something that none of them expected, causing many of them to freeze in surprise, giving us the extra few seconds we needed to slam into their ranks. Shouting at the top of my lungs as we rudely interrupted the battle in progress, I fixated my attention on a stunned adventurer before me, the mace in his hand coming up far too slowly to prevent a crackling splinter from slicing a line across his throat. Feeling the blade grate across bone as I completed my opening swing, I shouldered the man out of my way and continued onwards, seeking to use my momentum to drive as deep as I could into the invader's ranks before I was forced to stop. Shoving my way forward, I didn't hesitate to make full use of the area's regenerative effect on my mana pool, channeling shocking touch with every swing I took while simultaneously conjuring flame daggers in my offhand and putting them to deadly use. Melting from under our brutal onslaught, we carved a swath through the invaders, managing to make it almost halfway across the outcropping and towards Carver before we met the first signs of resistance.
You!
The hate-filled word brought me back into the moment as Splinter's Edge slammed down on a metal shield's edge, leaving me staring into a dwarven face that I instantly recognized from what felt like a lifetime ago.
You're not supposed to be here!
That's funny, I replied in a savage tone as I sent a surge of electricity through the shield and into the dwarf holding it.
I happen to feel the same way! You should have known this was coming!
Fillion barked, barely twitching from my magic as he retaliated with his own attack.
We were never going to lie down after what you did to our guild.
Maybe you damn well should have, I retorted as I caught his sword on Splinter's edge and trapped it, channeling yet another shocking touch through the metallic item. Visibly wincing from the attack this time, the dwarf tried to take a step backward in an attempt to disengage his weapon from mine, only to have Amaranth dart in from beside me and sink his teeth into his leg. Fillion yelped in pain a second before he lost his balance and fell awkwardly to the ground, giving me the opening I needed to thrust Splinter deep into his stomach and then step past him, trusting that my familiar would finish the job. Hearing a pained scream ring out from behind me as I moved, I thrust Splinter into the side of an adventurer facing away from me, his attention still focused on the spirits climbing up the outcropping side. Feeling his body go stiff from the pain, I wasted no time pulling my weapon free, then kicked his legs out from under him, sending him tumbling off the edge and into the tainted ether below. Finished with the dwarf that I'd left behind, I saw Amaranth bound into view as he leaped past me, followed closely behind by Aldwyn, Constantine, and Freya.
We have to keep moving!
The Bond shouted as he caught an adventurer's attack on his shield, then retaliated with the chop of his axe into their shoulder that sent them crashing to the ground.
They're starting to rally their forces. We need to force them back on their heels while we still can.
I'm with you!
I shouted back at the knight as I rushed forward to join the group, finding myself a spot on the far right in our line of battle, right against the edge of the outcropping. Pushing forward with a deadly purpose, the five of us scythed through a wave of scrambling adventurers, along with several spirits that had managed to finish the climb up the outcropping side, giving us a new threat to worry about. I guess that was inevitable at some point, I thought as I swept Splinter through a shade before me, its body vanishing in a burst of energy. But all that matters right now is stopping Carver and whatever he's trying to do. Once he's out of the way, we can deal with the spirits afterward. Our attack so far had devastated nearly the entirety of the invaders' right flank, allowing the spirits that they'd been keeping at bay to finish their climb up the rock face and join the battle. A quick glance towards the other flank showed me a similar scene in the making, as our mages and ranged attackers took advantage of the invaders' positioning, focusing their attacks to hit the opposite line of adventurers from behind without fear of reprisal, lest they turn their attention away from the spirits. In what seemed like an instant, the balance that Carver's force had achieved in keeping the spirits at bay had been lost, and panic was beginning to spread amongst them as fractures in their lines started to appear. Continuing to press forward with the others, I thrust Splinter through an adventurer's guard and stabbed the tip deep into his shoulder, discharging a shocking touch through his body and then followed up with a burning dagger thrust sharply upwards and under his ribs. Shoving the falling body to the side, I made to keep pressing onwards, only to hear a startled shout from Freya.
Shit! Reinforcements from the left!
Her voice rang out from down the line, prompting my head to instinctively snap in its direction as our line suddenly shifted to adjust, only to see a brightly glowing sword heading straight towards my face. Shouting in surprise at the attack, I reflexively swept Splinter upward before me, feeling the ether-touched blade knock the attack out of the way, which was then immediately followed by a surge of electricity shooting down my arm and into my body. Grimacing from the unexpected pain, I finished twisting in the direction of the attacker and felt my heart skip a beat as I found myself staring into a face that I'd never expected to see again, let alone hear of all places.
Lyrian!
The man's voice sliced effortlessly through the combined crash of battle and spirits chant as he sliced out with another attack, taking advantage of my momentary surprise and carving a line across my arm.
I'm so happy you were able to make it here in time. After Carver told me what he had planned for you, I had my doubts you'd even show up at all.
Master!
I snarled with sudden rage as I pushed past the unexpected revelation and retaliated with my own attack.
What the hell are you doing here? Isn't it obvious, Lyrian?
The Dark Elf shouted in reply, displaying a savage grin on his face as he caught Splinter on his sword and knocked it out of the way.
I'm here for round two. You didn't think that just because you managed to get me and my group exiled, that I wouldn't try and take a second shot at you if I had the chance? What I'd hoped is that you came to your damn senses after I handed your ass to you, and that you got a fresh start somewhere else,
I retorted, slapping a thrust from Mazdur to the side and delivering a searing cut across his thigh with a hastily conjured flame dagger, a part of my mind finally noticing that he was wearing the same roughly cut leather armor that I'd seen Carver wearing the other week.
Oh, but that's exactly what we did, Lyrian,
Mazdur replied, showing no sign that my attack had hurt him.
It turns out Carver and his group are big fans of our winner-take-all approach to things. Well, at least the winners are. But then again, that's the point.
Launching himself forward with a laugh, the two of us exchanged a rapid flurry of blows that made me realize that whatever level advantage that I'd previously enjoyed against Mazdur was now gone. Moving with a speed and strength that he hadn't possessed earlier, the Dark Elf set me back on my heels as I rapidly tried to adjust to his new skill level, finding it to be a near-perfect match for my own. Chancing a glance towards the rest of my party in the hope of support, I saw that the entirety of Mazdur's old group had joined him in his attack, stopping our assault cold and keeping all of them far too busy to help.
Damn it! I don't have time for a duel right now, and especially not here,
I thought as I traded electrified blows with the Dark Elf, the two of us burning through our mana pools as if they were bottomless, which, given the area's special effect, they effectively were.
Plus, with how fast we're regenerating mana here, draining it is pointless.
Backpedaling as Mazdur pressed his attack, I couldn't help but keep his multicast ability at the forefront of my mind and forced myself to fight cautiously, not wanting to be caught by surprise by a blast of magic that I knew I'd have no chance to recover from, assuming I survived it in the first place.
What's wrong, Lyrian?
Moster taunted as my conservative style gradually forced me backward to the edge of the outcropping, overlooking the tainted ether below.
Are you feeling hard-pressed to keep up? I expected better than this from you.
Ignoring the man's jab, I replied by parrying a sweeping attack from his sword, immediately riposting in return, scoring a wound on the Dark Elf's bicep. Seeing him wince from the attack, I quickly followed it up with yet another flame dagger, throwing the burning knife directly at his face and forcing him to leap backward to evade it. Pressing forward, I fought to give myself some space from the edge, hoping that a spirit didn't pick that moment to climb up behind me.
I can't keep wasting my time here,
I thought as it became Moster's turn to fight cautiously, the Dark Elf now focusing on pure evasion, not wanting to risk contact with my sword lest it carry a current of electricity.
I need to put an end to this and get to Carver before it's too late.
Continuing to fight in our own pocket amid the greater conflict around us, the exchange between the two of us grew in both speed and intensity. Minor injuries piled up as the battle progressed, each and every one gradually slowing our movements, it being only a matter of time before one of us made a fatal mistake, allowing the other to put an end to the contest. Forming a desperate plan in my head as I felt myself being forced backward again, I decided to give Moster that very mistake that he was looking for, while silently hoping that I'd be able to turn it around on him in time.
Ha!
Moster exclaimed in triumph as I feinted a slip off of the edge of the outcropping, the man taking advantage of the opening to thrust his sword directly into my abdomen just above my left hip. While simultaneously extending his free hand towards me, a glowing ball of azure light forming in his palm.
Looks like I win this time, Lyrian.
I wouldn't be so sure of that, Moster,
I hissed through clenched teeth, adrenaline the only thing keeping the pain at bay, as I reached out to grab the Dark Elf by the collar of his armor while triggering my newly improved Monoleech ability. In a heartbeat, the growing spell in Moster's hand came apart as an overwhelming surge of hunger came over me, the spell's mana flowing across the short distance between us and into my body. Eyes widening at his interrupted spell, I managed to see a fleeting look of terror cross Monster's face, as I then threw my weight backward, pulling us both off of the ledge.
Lyrian, you fuck!
I heard Monster scream in a panic as the two of us began to fall, his words abruptly cutting themselves off the moment that I triggered Blinkstep. With my vision blurring in a wild array of colors, I felt myself land heavily back on the outcropping's edge that I'd just thrown both Moster and myself off of, a wave of sheer agony passing through my side from the impact. Somewhere in my desperate maneuver, Moster's sword had managed to tear itself free of my body, leaving a steady stream of blood pouring from it.
Goodbye, Moster,
I whispered to myself as I placed a hand over the wound and glanced down the outcropping's edge. Only seeing the tainted ether below, with no sign of either the Dark Elf or any climbing spirits.
And good riddance.
Breathing a sigh of relief, I reached into my belt pocket and pulled out a healing potion, downing its contents quickly before scanning the battlefield, having been too focused on my duel with Moster to keep track of everything going on. Taking in everything at a glance, I saw that in the time that I'd been fighting Moster, the rest of the raid had continued to press against Carver's forces, ravaging their ranks until only a small fraction of their original numbers remained standing.
Hang on,
I thought as I finished taking in the scene, noticing that while there were a substantial number of spirits on the outcropping now, there was nowhere near the amount that I'd expected now that Carver's forces weren't able to keep them at bay anymore. Why aren't there more of them up here? We should be getting swarmed by now. As if sensing my thoughts, it was at that very moment that a vicious tremor shook the cavern all around us, causing everyone to momentarily lose their balance. Within seconds of the event occurring, I felt the spirit's chant suddenly die off, temporarily bathing all of us in an eerie silence. Looking up at the unexpected event, I glanced in the direction of several of the spirits, seeing them visibly wincing as if they were in pain, their bodies rapidly losing shape with every second that passed.
What the hell?
I managed to gasp from my kneeling position as the spirits before me dissolved into an insubstantial ball of energy and hovered in the air. Glancing around towards the other spirits that I'd seen just seconds earlier, I saw the same event repeat itself, endlessly, each of the ghosts transforming into a hazy mote of emerald light.
What is happening?
Amaranth asked a moment before he bounded into view, his voice filtering through our mental link as I forced myself back up onto my feet.
The spirits have shifted somehow.
I see it too,
I replied to the cat, just in time to see all the motes begin to move towards us.
Wait, something's happening.
No, stop!
An ethereal voice suddenly demanded, its mental volume causing me to wince in pain.
Don't do this! You have no idea what you'll unleash! Ah!
Cutting off with a scream, the voice vanished from my mind just as quickly as it had appeared. But before I could even begin to make sense of what exactly it was that I'd heard, I was forced to scramble out of the way as several of the shimmering motes shot past me, their speed increasing the further that they traveled. Feeling a spike of dread shoot through me as I twisted my body to follow the wave of disembodied spirits as they sailed through the air, seeing them rush to join a growing maelstrom of energy right at the edge of the outcropping overlooking the ley line rupture, right where I'd last seen Carver. Oh, fuck, I swore silently as I looked up at the well of power, seeing that the torrent of spirits that had been swirling around the ley line rupture earlier in the battle had since been consumed by whatever spell that Carver had managed to conjure and was growing in size with every second that passed. Where are the others? I asked Amaranth as I tore my eyes off the spell and looked behind me, only to see that the battle between the raid and Carver's followers had begun anew, now that they weren't forced to keep the spirits at bay any longer.
They're still fighting with the invaders,
my familiar replied.
I just barely managed to escape before being drawn in again. Shit,
I cursed aloud, realizing that time was rapidly running out. Making a decision, I signaled for Amaranth to follow me and turned my body towards the far edge of the outcropping, where all the spirits were being drawn to. We can't wait for the others. We need to stop whatever Carver is doing before it's too late. Launching myself into a sprint, Amaranth and I left the growing battle behind as the two of us charged towards Carver, watching more and more of the emerald motes fly past us. Using Blinkstep to help the process of us cross the distance even faster, I didn't even feel my mana deplete as I carried the both of us forward, all of my attention focused on reaching the distant half-orc before it was too late. Sensing our approach as we rapidly closed the distance, I saw a familiar crimson shape by Carver's side shift around to look in my direction, its hackles rising the instant that it spotted us. Letting out a savage bark, it leaped to put itself between us and its master, who spun around in our direction.
Carver!
I shouted as I cast Blinkstep once again, causing Amaranth and me to appear at near point-blank range in front of the pair. With my familiar leading the way half a step ahead of me, I had just enough time to see him slam into the Crimson Spirit Wolf and knock it out of my path, giving me a perfect opportunity to swing Splinter at Carver's head.
Lyrian! Well, isn't this a surprise? You actually made it!
The half-orc exclaimed as he caught my sword on an upraised spear tip and blunted the blow by taking a step backwards, the storm of magic crackling with energy above us.
I guess I'm gonna have a few failures to punish once this is all over.
You mean Ignis and his group? I growled at the man angrily, chopping Splinter viciously into Carver's spear, noticing that he no longer carried a shield in his offhand and was instead clinging onto a brightly glowing totem.
Feel free to send them back to us. I'll happily sort them out for you. In fact, why don't you tell me where I can pick them up?
I bet you would love to do just that,
Carver replied, a wide grin crossing his face as he retaliated with a combination of spear thrusts that forced me to dance backwards out of reach, both Amaranth and Carver's Spirit Wolf also taking the opportunity to break free of their respective battle to fall in by our sides.
But I'm afraid I prefer to handle all my discipline matters internally. Better for morale that way. Besides, I don't expect you and your little town to be around much longer anyway.
Like hell we won't be,
I retorted, conjuring a flame dagger in my hand, hearing Amaranth growl fiercely as I prepared to renew my attack against Carver.
My raid is finishing off the rest of your followers right now, and the moment that I put you into the ground, I'm gonna unravel whatever the hell you're trying to do here.
Ha ha!
Carver barked a sudden and slightly maniacal laugh at my statement while shaking his head viciously to the side, the totem in his hand suddenly pulsing with a wave of emerald light.
God, I've always wanted to say this, but you're too late, Lyrian. You can't stop any of this now.
Glancing down at the totem as Carver began to thrust it upwards, I reflexively threw the flame dagger in my hand towards it while lunging forward with Amaranth beside me. But before either the knife or the two of us could reach Carver, a blinding burst of emerald light erupted from the totem, followed closely behind by a wave of force that slammed into us, sending us both stumbling backward.
In the end, I suppose it's only fitting that you have a front row seat to this, Lyrian.
I heard Carver's voice call out as the raging storm of energy above us shifted.
I just hope that this will teach you to keep your nose out of my business in the future.
What the hell did you just do, Carver?
I demanded, seeing all of the individual motes that had once been spirits suddenly shooting downwards towards the massive pool of ether below us, causing what parts of it I could see to roil and churn.
Oh, nothing too special,
the half-orc replied in a smug voice as a faint tremor shook the cavern.
All I did was give these spirits a little inspiration and a little nudge in the direction they were going anyway, just to help speed things along.
As if waiting until that very moment for its cue, a loud mental howl slammed into my mind, the sheer intensity behind it powerful enough to cause my thoughts to momentarily go blank, gritting my teeth as I tried to focus past what sounded like a million angry voices screaming out at once. I felt the ground begin to shake underneath my feet, this time with more force than any that I'd ever experienced before. Unable to keep my balance, I dropped down to my knees just in time to see a column of tainted ether erupt before me, shooting straight up into the air, several others joining it seconds later.
What the hell is... Oh, no.
The fleeting thought crossed my mind before shifting into outright terror as I gazed upwards at the emerald-tinted ether, seeing it suddenly begin to shift and distort as a familiar ghostly haze enveloped it. Within seconds, it then began to rapidly elongate itself, each of the ether columns transforming themselves into an array of bizarre and twisted-looking appendages. Staring on in horror as the strange limbs continued to take shape, I saw massive spectral claws come into being at the ends of a handful of them, while others shifted into twisted, gaping mouths that gnashed at the air.
We're too late.
I couldn't help but think to myself as a massive shape then rose from the tainted ether just past the edge of the outcropping in front of me, growing until it towered high above it. Staring up at the entity, I found it almost physically painful to look at, its ghostly, ooze-like form warping and undulating wildly as countless eyes, claws, and mouths played across its body, eventually vanishing from one spot and reappearing somewhere else. With the colossal spirit reaching its full height, the shaking in the cavern abruptly stopped, and the mental scream lost some of its intensity, making rational thought possible once more. Feeling like I could finally move again, I shakily pushed myself upwards, despair blooming in my heart as I focused on the massive entity and the tag that I'd just seen appear in my vision. Etherbound Shoggoth, World Event Boss, Level 20. Chapter 55.
Well, Lyrian?
Carver's voice called out, causing my attention to shift downward towards the man, seeing a wide grin on his face as he put his now faintly glowing totem away and gripped his spear with both hands.
Now that we have that bit of ugly business out of the way, where were we?
You have no idea what you've just done, Carver!
I screamed, feeling the despair within me morph into white-hot rage as I stared at the half-orc.
You've doomed everyone! Us! Aldford, even Iberia!
Do you think that I really didn't know that?
Carver replied with a savage laugh.
Why do you think I chose this way to do it? Just because it gave me an easy way to wipe out your little town? Ha! I'm playing a much bigger game here, Lyrian, one that goes so far beyond this region. God damn you, Carver,
I hissed as I took a step towards the half-orc, gripping Splinter's hilt so tightly that I felt the bones in my hand crack.
No matter what happens here today, I'm gonna be coming for you, and I'm not gonna stop until I put you in the darkest hole that I can find, somewhere you'll never be able to escape from.
Oh, I'll be ready, Lyrian,
Carver announced with another laugh as both he and his wolf fell into a fighting stance.
Now, why don't you come over here and see just how sorry you can make me, huh? Something tells me we aren't gonna have long until our friend over there decides to join the party.
Good thing I won't need too much time, I spat as I lunged forward with Amaranth by my side.
Crossing the distance between us in an instant, the two of us slammed into our respective counterparts and resumed the battle right where it had left off just seconds earlier. But this time, instead of being completely drawn into our own individual conflict, Amaranth and I stayed together, fighting almost on top of one another in perfect sync, effortlessly switching our focus between Carver or his spirit wolf as the situation demanded.
Deflecting a spear thrust from Carver, I pushed the pointed tip of his weapon out of the way, allowing Amaranth's claw to lash out and rend open a line of flesh on the half-orc's leg. Shifting my focus as my familiar attacked, I then swept my blade downward to intercept Carver's spirit wolf, who had leaped forward to snap at Amaranth, and slash through its spectral body, sending it flinching backward with a yelp of pain. Without missing a beat, I then conjured and released a flame dagger in my free hand, throwing it almost lazily in Carver's direction as I turned my head back towards him, watching the knife fly just past his face, leaving a wicked burn across his jaw.
"Having trouble keeping up, Carver?"
I taunted the man as I seamlessly switched targets with Amaranth and slashed out with a crackling splinter, purposefully driving the blow into Carver's spear.
"I expected more from you after the last time!"
"Hardly,"
the half-orc replied fiercely, oblivious to the fact that his voice lacked the same confidence that it had a few seconds earlier.
"You haven't seen anything yet!"
Throwing themselves forward with a roar, both Carver and his spirit wolf renewed their attacks, compensating for their relative lack of teamwork with a vicious burst of ferocity that forced Amaranth and me to rapidly give ground. As the pair pressed forward recklessly, I saw an orb of sickly green light flash in Carver's hand, a heartbeat before he threw it forward, the ball of magic moving too fast for me to get out of its way. Splashing across my shoulder, I felt a wave of sickness come over me, slowing my movements just enough to allow Carver's spear to reach out and cut a shallow wound across my ribs. Hissing from the blow, I forced myself to embrace the pain in an attempt to shift my attention away from my roiling stomach and threw another burning dagger at the half-orc shaman to buy myself some space.
"How do you like that, Lyrian?"
Carver shouted as he effortlessly evaded my flaming missile by dancing backward away from me, his hand bursting into a pale yellow light.
"You may be faster and stronger than me now, but my magic gives me a few tricks that yours doesn't."
Opening his palm as he finished speaking, I saw the spell that he had conjured flow directly into his body, causing the wound that I had inflicted on his face to vanish and for the bleeding slash on his leg to instantly scab over.
"Shit! He can heal himself!"
I cursed with sudden annoyance as I instinctively moved to launch myself back at the man, seeing yet another orb of yellow light appear in his hand. But before I could even begin to move, Amaranth's panicked voice thundered through my mind.
"Above us!"
he shouted, a wave of sheer animalistic terror seeping through our bond.
"We need to flee, now!"
Feeling my heart stop as I reflexively glanced upwards at my familiar's words, I saw that two of the thrashing tendrils had begun their descent downward towards us, one bearing a set of nightmarish claws on its end, while the other bore a gnashing maw. Leaping backward from Carver at the speed of thought, I quickly cast Blink Step for Amaranth and me, reappearing at the very edge that the spell could take us. No sooner did our feet land on the ground than a massive impact shake the entire outcropping beneath us as the two massive tentacles slammed into the spot where we'd just been standing. Spinning to look back at the impact, I saw that only Carver had managed to avoid the Shoggoth's opening attack, if only partially, his wolf nowhere in sight as he desperately scrambled across the ground, dragging one of his legs uselessly behind him. With all its tentacles and appendages flailing wildly through the air, the entity let out a loud mental roar as the countless eyes on its body all focused themselves downward towards us. Surging forward, huge splashes of tainted ether sprayed upwards as the Shoggoth moved to envelop the section of the outcropping that we'd been standing on, a gargantuan maw full of teeth taking shape in the center of its spectral body. Staring in stunned disbelief as the nightmarish being bit down, I felt the entire outcropping twist and shake underneath me as it tore free a portion of the rock in its maw, then began to chew on it as if it were flesh. Struggling to keep my balance as the ground threatened to shake itself to pieces, a flash of light caught my eye, causing me to shift my eyes off of the spirit and onto Carver, who was forcing himself back up onto his feet, his ruined leg now partially healed. Feeling a renewed spike of rage shoot through me at the sight of the half-orc, I wasted no time in turning towards him, eager to get some measure of vengeance before the chance was taken away from me. Launching myself forward into a charge, Amaranth and I covered the distance to Carver in what felt like an instant, barely giving the half-orc the time to raise his spear to receive our attack.
"All the healing in the world isn't going to save you from me!"
I shouted at the man as the two of us rapidly forced him backward, the spirit wolf no longer around to divide our attention. Within seconds, I landed several vicious cuts across Carver's body, followed by Amaranth delivering a staggering slap with his paw to the man's hip, the sound of cracking bones sending him stumbling badly onto his still-wounded leg.
Talk all you want, if it makes you feel better, Lyrian,
Carver replied to me through gritted teeth as our attacks continued to force him backward.
But we all know how this battle is going to end. I came here fully willing to die to make sure this place went off properly. Whether it happens by your hand or someone else's doesn't matter to me in the slightest.
If that's the case,
I snarled, seizing an opening in the half-orc's weakened guard to chop a crackling splinter deep into his shoulder, at the same time Amaranth lunged forward to bite down onto his spear and tore it from his grasp.
Let me send you off in a way that you'll never forget!
Pulling my blade free of Carver's shoulder with a spray of blood, I then planted the heaviest kick I could muster straight into his wounded leg, hearing a snapping sound fill the air as he fell heavily to the ground.
I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon, Carver, I said to the half-orc as I took a step backward away from the man, having seen the Shoggoth's tentacles unwind from the spot that they had slammed into and ready themselves for another strike.
But until then, I hope eating the loss of your soul fragment keeps you full of happy thoughts. Seeing Carver's eyes widen as Amaranth and I rapidly backed away from him, I saw him glance upwards, just in time for a wicked set of claws attached to one of the Shoggoth's tentacles take him directly in the chest, and then lift his body straight up into the air and out of sight. Feeling the rage within me turn to ash at Carver's death, I spun on my heel as I saw the other tentacle swing in our direction, Amaranth and I both rushing to get out of its reach. Working ourselves up into a full sprint, I felt the ground shake again as a loud crunch of stone echoed out from behind us. Not wanting to risk a glance behind me at the noise, I cast Blinkstep once more, taking advantage of my near-limitless mana pool to get both Amaranth and myself firmly out of its reach. With the world blurring as we shifted places, the two of us reappeared further down the outcropping and practically crashed headlong into the fractured remains of the raid.
Lyrian!
Sierra's voice shouted out in surprise from the head of the group, everyone coming to a stop as they saw both Amaranth and me appear.
We were just coming to help! What the hell happened up there? Carver! Happened!
I replied, breathing heavily as I looked over the raid, seeing all my friends rush forward to surround me.
I tried to stop him, but I was too late. He did something to the spirits and turned them into that.
Shit!
Constantine exclaimed before giving me an asking look.
Did you at least get him?
Yeah,
I replied, hearing several grunts of approval from the raid.
For all the good it does us now.
It's not over until it's over,
Alduin said in a tired voice.
There must be something that we...
A loud crunch, followed by a tremor, suddenly interrupted the knight, causing everyone to glance in the direction of the Shoggoth, just in time to see it take another chunk out of the outcropping.
Gods!
Alduin exclaimed as the chunk of stone vanished into the creature's maw.
Is that creature trying to eat the place?
It sure looks like it,
I answered, shaking my head as half a dozen tentacles then erupted from the tainted ether, two of the six immediately questing upwards towards the ley line while the other four began to rapidly grow massive bulges on their sides as they reached out to hover over the outcropping.
Look, it's reaching for the...
Before I could finish my statement, the bulges on the tentacles burst open with a spray of emerald-tinted ether and several large globs fell from each of them, the majority of them landing wetly on the outcropping before us, with a handful falling back into the ether below. Shifting rapidly, the shapes that had managed to land on the outcropping quickly sprouted their own array of tentacles, mouths, and eyes, appearing as miniature versions of the larger Shoggoth.
Shit! It's spawning minions!
Trace exclaimed, the big man's voice echoing over the raid's surprise as another wave of bulges burst from the tentacles, repeating the process a second time.
Forget the minions! Look at what it's doing!
I shouted as I pointed directly at the rupture, where the two other tentacles had transformed themselves into the gnashing maws that I'd seen earlier and were beginning to devour the stone surrounding it.
It's trying to widen the rupture!
As one, everyone's eyes shot up to look at the ley line high above, with the azure-tinted ether still pouring steadily from it before vanishing out of sight behind the Shoggoth.
Oh, fuck it is,
Constantine whispered.
What the hell are we gonna do? What can we do at this point?
What we came here to do, I said, turning my head to glance towards the middle of the outcropping to where the final runestone was. We need to try and seal the ley line.
Do you really think that'll work, Lear?
Freya asked, her head shifting to look at me.
It's the best thing that I can think of right now,
I replied, giving her what I hoped was a confident nod. If we can get the final spell fragment from the runestone and seal the rupture, then we just might keep things from getting worse.
I have to agree with Lear here, Halcyon said, and that's not just because I don't want to get anywhere near that damn monster. It's really the best chance we have.
Guys!
Drace called out, having kept his eyes down low while we had all focused on the ley line.
Speaking of getting worse, those minion things are starting to head this way!
Shit!
Freya cursed, shifting her gaze towards the onrushing horde of creatures.
Okay, Lear, your plan sounds like the best option we have right now. Take some people to watch over you in case some of these critters get past us and seal that damn ley line.
Got it,
I replied as Drace and Alduin began shouting to get the raid organized, their two voices prompting everyone to move.
Halcyon, Constantine, Lazarus, let's go!
Splitting apart from the rest of the raid, the five of us, Amaranth included, rushed back down the outcropping, trusting that Freya and the others would keep the Shoggoth spawn at bay. Crossing the distance quickly, thanks to the fact that we didn't need to fight Carver's forces along the way, it didn't take us long to reach the runestone, Halcyon and I immediately reaching into our packs to pull out a clean sheet of paper and something to draw with.
I have no idea what the timing on this one is, Lear,
Halcyon said as the two of us prepared ourselves.
Could be seconds or minutes. I didn't see it flare at all during the battle earlier.
Me either,
I replied, vaguely remembering myself running past it before encountering Mazdur.
We'll need to wait and hope that it doesn't take too long.
Is there anything we can do to help?
Lazarus asked, his glass steel sword in hand as he surveyed the area.
Warn us if anything gets loose from the rest of the raid, I replied, seeing him nod as our eyes met. But not while we're drawing.